Welcome to another interconnected episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jan. This week our topic is DC versus Marvel. Now the cast begins.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another amalgamated episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name's Andy, and I'm hanging out with Jen.
Hey.
David.
Hey.
And this week, we read the big one, DC versus Marvel from 1996. Four issues of the most 90th crossover you could possibly have.
It is so from 1996.
So this is going to wrap up our Ultimate Wacky Crossover Mania series.
Indeed.
This is a comic book.
Yes. Yeah. It's actually four comic books.
Yes. So what they did was they put out a poll, right, and asked readers to, as unbiasedly as possible, say who would win in a fight between these two people. You know, like, what's the matchup, and then who's going to win. And, you know, if they'd have just published the results, like, in an Excel spreadsheet, I think that might have been a little more enjoyable for me. I mean, I love the idea, right? But, like, it's supposed to be all about the matchups, right? And who would win in a fight. And you get to actually finally see, like, Spider-Man and Superboy fight. But you get, like, two pages of it.
And yeah,
and we move on.
So. Yeah, a lot of those fights were pretty disappointing.
Yes.
Like the Batman versus Captain America one. It's like, oh, it's pretty evenly matched. Then they get wet, and Captain America loses.
You know what else? You know what gets to me? Apparently, Batman's superpower is that he can dodge, and in Marvel, nobody knows how to dodge.
I thought Batman's superpower was super preparedness.
Yes, it's technically.
Super richness.
But no, seriously. Like, Bullseye shows up in his cave, and Batman dodges, and Bullseye's like, oh my god, he dodged. And then later on, Batman fights Captain America, and Captain America goes, oh my god, my shield missed. Like, you didn't miss, motherfucker dodged. You saw him dodge. Like, that's the only thing he's done in these two fights to win.
Wait, how come Captain America's shield didn't bounce back when he was fighting?
Yeah, like, it did bounce back when he was... Who was he fighting that
Bane.
Did Bane? He was fighting Bane and it bounced back.
But it always bounces back. That's what the shield does.
Like, it's Batman. Batman was prepared. He put, like, Stick'Em on the wall behind him.
Coated the sewer with flypaper.
Yeah. Apparently. He was prepared for that fight down there in the sewer. So I think that's what... I'm just going to get right into it and say that's what my big problem with this was. Is it's supposed to be about the matchups and the fight. And it's just so much story that I don't give a crap about.
And it's
too
like,
many
oh,
words.
Like, Superman versus the Hulk should have been epic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, the Hulk only ever gets stronger.
Basically, right? What happened was he got buried. It doesn't seem like something that would phase the Hulk that much.
No.
You know, it's actually kind of interesting though, because I feel like that highlights something that a lot of non-comic book readers I've talked to have a problem with, and they always say, like, you know, if you have Superman, why do you even need any other hero? Because, like, how can anyone win a fight against Superman? Where's the tension in that? And, I mean, you know, as people who have read Superman comics, we know that, but I think it actually highlights a common, I guess, perception of, you know, putting anyone against Superman's kind of stupid.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, what is the one thing that beats Superman? Punching harder.
Yeah.
If there's anybody that can punch hard, it's the Hulk, right?
Yeah, because Superman dies from getting punched hella hard. That's when he dies.
And the Hulk's thing is punching hard. Smashing, if you will.
Yes. And not only that, like, the way the Hulk's power works is the harder you hit him, the angrier he gets. The angrier he gets, the stronger he becomes. This should just be an escalation of the same proportion that happened with Doomsday.
Well, I think the problem here was that he had his Bruce Banner mind in the Hulk body, and everybody was super noble. They're like, we're superheroes, we need to figure this out. And they're like, no, we have to save our universes.
Yes.
And they're all like swooning at each other, and then somebody gets buried under rocks.
You know what really...
punched.
Just, it fucking bothered me so much, more than like, oh, just I'm so angry. These people are supposed to be heroes, and it only, like, kind of halfway occurred to one of them, maybe, that, hey, if I win, I am committing genocide. Like, did that not bother anybody? Did no one stop and think, like, hey, this is an impossible situation, and I shouldn't just fight to win, because everyone dies either way. It's... Stupid heroes.
Yeah.
That upset me so much.
And, you know, for the most part, I'd say the majority of these guys are pretty stupid. You know?
Definitely Superboy.
Superboy's stupid. Spider-Man's smart, but, you know, he doesn't have the kind of common sense. He's more of a book smart. Wonder Woman, I don't think, is that bright. I don't think Storm's that bright.
Batman,
I mean, I could be entirely wrong.
He's supposed to be really intelligent.
Yeah. Batman's got it down. There's only, like, a handful of guys in here that I think would be able to figure that out. So I can kind of buy it, but you're right. It's fucking genocide, and only one of them didn't figure that out.
Like, Professor Xavier didn't seem to notice. I just feel like it's a fairly obvious conclusion to arrive at.
And I think it's convenient also that the two smartest people in the Marvel Universe aren't even in here at all. There's no Reed Richards and there's no Tony Stark.
They would have been like,
there's not even
this story is retarded.
Yeah, there's not even fucking Hank Pym, who's annoying and everybody hates him, but at least he's smart. You know? And not, like, you remember when we were at 52? The Mad Scientist Island, all the geniuses that DC has, not a single mention of any of them on either side, like Will Magnus and his Metal Men. Dude.
This is a bro comic.
Yes, this is.
I mean, look at how douchey Thor looks.
Oh my god.
The way they introduced Superboy, the only time I've ever encountered Superboy was when he was dead, and they were doing the Cult of Connor to try to resurrect him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he was dead, I think, because he's, like, all he does here is walk around and pick up ladies by their cooters. Like, seriously.
honestly, from the point that I think Connor Kent is one of the few characters that was made in the 90s that evolved into a legitimately interesting character on his own. Like, Connor Kent turned into, like, he became a good character, and Connor Kent as a character looked back on this stage in his life and is embarrassed.
Good. He should be.
Did you see how vertical his collar is?
And I think that's really good character development. So when I see Connor Kent Superboy in here acting like this, like, I facepalm because I know Connor Kent, when he died, would have been embarrassed by this.
He has an earring and a pudding bowl haircut.
Yes.
And he's touching Beatles things sunglasses. He shouldn't.
Tactilely.
What is tactile telekinesis? Like, I know what those two words mean, but does that mean...
So his power set is not Superman's, but it effectively mimics them. So tactile telekinesis means he can move things with his mind, but only when he touches them. So when he picks, like, a car up, he's not picking it up because he's super strong. He's picking it up with his mind, but he has to use his hands to do it. Right? So it effectively looks like it mimics Superman's powers.
He flies, right?
Yes.
So he effectively flies by touching himself?
Yes, he does. That is how that works. He flies by touching himself. Oh, yeah.
Well.
Oh, Christ. That wasn't bird poop.
You know, this... Oh, my God. I'm going to say this isn't our fault. This is the comic.
Yeah, I mean...
This is not us being awful.
They're just setting him up and we're knocking him down here.
Yeah.
There's the page. When fucking Wolverine's hair.
Yes.
There's so much 90s hair in so many different ways here.
He stole David Bowie's head and then painted it black. Like, it actually gets wackier at some point, too, I think.
I think the only character I was satisfied with their portrayal, two of them. Darkseid. I like Darkseid shows up and, like, Thanos, you're a pale imitation to me, I'm gonna fucking rock your world. And then they end up just being badasses. And then, and then Lobo. I like Lobo, yeah. Too.
Well, Lobo's always great.
Because Lobo's introduction, come here, nobody calls Lobo a six-souled Zarnian tree sloth and lives to tell it. But he didn't call. Doesn't matter. You might have later. And that's the whole reason to start a bar fight.
I think the reason why Lobo fits in anywhere is because he is, like, a caricature of himself. Right?
Yes, he is a caricature.
And so it's like, it doesn't matter where he is. And he's such a... He isn't affected by fads and trends and...
yeah.
Unfortunate decades.
And then... So, I just... For everything that I find in here, like... The stupid comic book shop nerd rage in me comes out. I love seeing Lobo in here, but it's fucking retarded that he lost to Wolverine. Please tell me. That's the dumbest thing ever.
And we didn't even see it. They fell behind the bar. Who knows what happened back there? And then Wolverine gets up and... No, because they effectively have the same power.
Yeah.
They except probably it's... made out. And then, you know.
That's why he needed a smoke afterwards.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them in here where there's just, like, odd matchups, or, like, the climactic punch or whatever happens sort of off-panel a little bit, like...
I know how Lobo could have easily won that fight. He hooks Wolverine with his hook, whistles, his bike comes, and he takes him into space. Yes. And Wolverine dies in the vacuum of space.
Done.
And Lobo wins because somehow he can survive in space.
On his fucking motorcycle that rides in space.
See, but instead they fall behind a bar. Who knows what happens? And then Wolverine gets up, and it's so stupid.
Okay, so we'll just talk about the first half of this before it becomes amalgamated, right?
Okay.
Were there any matchups that you saw and thought this was interesting in any way?
Okay, so I felt like the two fights that featured a lot of lightning were okay.
Thor and Captain Marvel,
because...
It's an interesting idea, because Captain Marvel, I think, is more powerful than Thor,
but
Thor controls the lightning.
And so I think that is a reasonable way to go with that fight.
Yeah.
And I feel like Wonder Woman...
And that also fits the bill of, like, these are both heroes, and like you said earlier, they have the, oh, whoa, our situation, but we must fight anyway. They find a way to settle the fight without having to harm one another.
He essentially incapacitates Captain Marvel. But Billy's not hurt or anything.
Yeah, Billy's not hurt. Billy's perfectly fine. Thor's perfectly fine.
And then Billy concedes to him, basically. He's like, hey, you win.
Yeah.
And then with Wonder Woman and Storm, I mean, lightning is pretty powerful. I feel like Storm could generate enough electricity to incapacitate Diana. I feel like that is... I think that if Diana had gotten close enough to Storm, she would have beat the shit out of her.
One punch. I mean, Wonder Woman's about as strong as Superman when it comes to punching.
But she's not as invulnerable as Superman.
Yeah.
And so, it's not like she can block lightning with her wristbands, right?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I feel like the thing that really made that fight interesting, though, was that Wonder Woman had the power of Thor. Mm-hmm. And she was like, nope.
Yeah, gotta put this down. There's not a whole lot in here that I was satisfied with. The fish fight, kind of, I didn't mind.
I did not like that at all.
They're so douchey.
I liked it because, yes, I like it because in the fight, Aquaman essentially called himself a douche. Where is it? I don't even remember what it is. He basically says, yeah, I'm a bit of a douche, it's fine, but I cheat, so I'm going to win.
Well, see, like, and he says that Namor lost because he was too noble, right?
Yeah.
I got that feeling from a lot of the fights, that the Marvel characters lost because they were too noble.
Yeah.
Except in the case of Jubilee, she's just a horrible character, but... But I don't know, to me it seems like that's what happened. I felt like Quicksilver lost because he got this sense of nobility all of a sudden.
Well,
that went the way it should have gone.
Quicksilver is technically nowhere near as fast as Flash.
Right. But he saw an opening and tried to take advantage of it. And then he was like, wait a minute. This guy's trying to help people. And then...
But, I mean, aside from that, take advantage of that opening, Flash is going to recover just because...
Right. You know. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I think that...
So
that I was not satisfied.
That fight went the way it should have gone, but that fight was not fun to watch.
No,
it was written in a way that it was not interesting to watch. The other one that I was really disappointed with was Green Lantern and Silver Surfer, because these are two. This is Green Lantern when he's the only Lantern, when Kyle Rayner is the only one. He has the full power of Oa in that ring.
Yeah, but.
But he's also only had it for, like, a month.
And Silver Surfer's pretty frigging powerful.
Right. But I'm disappointed in this fight, because We're talking about two really fucking powerful heroes, and it's all of two pages.
And it, basically what happens is, it's like, it's a Dragon Ball Z type thing, right? They punch each other, there's a big explosion, and one of them is knocked out.
Yeah. You don't see anything that happens. Oh, you see Kyle make a sick fucking bike, then you see him make a sick fucking sword on like a knight on like a techno horse kind of a thing, because he's an artist and all of his stuff is fucking weird. And yeah, you get this explosion, and then...
I mean, I feel like...
knocked out.
Yeah. I feel like it was a fight that Silver Surfer should have won. But the way... It's like these were just... I don't know.
So then, let's get to the second half. Were there any amalgamations that you thought were not horribly disgusting?
No.
Actually, the only one that I thought was kind of okay was Doctor Strange Fate.
Yes.
Because that makes sense. That those two characters would be amalgamated. But the best part was when he took off the helm of Dr. Fate and it was Professor Xavier under there. And then I thought, he should have been called Professor Strange Fate.
Professor Strange Fate. Oh my god. Professor Strange Fate. Oh, yeah, they're just... The Kraven Joker is kind of interesting. Where was that one? He's, only a couple pages. I think that's a neat combination. Just because the green hair of the Joker turns into the green mane of Kraven.
That was so gross.
Is that Kraven? I think it's supposed to be Kraven.
Well, they called him Hyena or something, right? I don't know.
I don't know what he was meant to be, but he was nasty.
I mean, clearly it's Joker.
Yeah.
I thought the Creeper and... We only get a picture of it, but Creeper and Nightcrawler was pretty stupid.
Captain America and Superman's hella stupid.
Yep.
Spider-Man and Superboy is hella stupid.
Deadshot and Bullseye make sense.
Yes, those make sense, both from character and power, and that makes sense. Wolverine and Batman?
The worst.
The fucking worst one in here.
What did they call him? Darkwing?
Darkclaw.
Oh, Darkclaw.
You're the...
Because I kept thinking of...
I mean, that's just a hot... That whole thing is a hot mess, right? But the worst part of it is the little fangs on the end of the cowl that makes it look like he has a mustache.
Which is
a horrible mustache.
Neither one of them have those fangs anywhere in their costumes or their personages. Dr. Doom and Doomsday Amalgam, there's like one little page of it, and it's like in the corner. That's a ridiculous... Just because they have Doom in their name. That's the only reason they got messed up.
The only costume that looks like remotely reasonable is Storm Wonder Woman.
Storm Wonder Woman, yeah. That costume looks... Again, power set that doesn't match up. I guess Storm has a thing for goddesses, and they both have a thing. That's what makes them match up.
Well, Storm was considered to be a goddess in her like village in Africa or wherever. But yeah,
they're all just bad. And so then this whole half, this whole like second half, where it's these amalgams, has nothing to do with the voting or the fight that you wanted to see. Right, like you want a DC versus Marvel, and you get DC versus Marvel for about half of it, and then the other half you get
DC
cuddles
Marvel
time. Yeah, exactly. The brothers are becoming one. Oh,
and who fucking cared about that shit?
That was stupid. Just stupid.
All they could have done was just done like a fan service type of thing. I used that two episodes in a row. That's funny. Because nobody cares about that thing.
And you know, like, we talked about in the first and second one, how IDW, like, missed a chance by not doing the creative writing exercise of how do we make these universes run together, right? And then when we did it in Aliens versus Predator versus Terminator, we saw it done actually pretty well. And here we see it done actually pretty horribly.
This is, it goes horribly wrong.
This introduces cosmic entities of insane power that... Nobody's ever heard it before.
And are of no consequence.
Yeah. It's just like some random thing that you came up with to explain why they... Just say fucking Reed Richards built a portal. Who cares? Like, that's just good enough. Reed Richards built a portal over here, and fucking Will Magnus built one over here, and they're just sending motherfuckers back and forth, and everybody's confused and fighting.
Yeah, I mean...
Done.
It makes sense.
Done.
That's like a thing in DC is going between universes. I mean, that's the whole
Crisis
on Two Earths is one thing.
Yes.
I mean, all they do is number the universes. Although this is when there was only one Earth, right?
Yes, this was when there was only one.
Final, this is pre-52s, but post-Infinite Crisis.
Yes.
So, but still.
Still.
Marvel has multiple universes, yeah, too. It just doesn't come
616,
in, right? It doesn't come into play as much as it did in DC, so they could have done it.
I like the... Actually, I do like the post-amalgam Green Lantern. I don't know who she's supposed to be amalgamated with, but she kind of looks like Guy Gardner.
It's
with, like, the vest and stuff.
I think it's supposed to be Kyle Rayner and... Her name's Frankie Ray. She was called Nova. She was one of the Heralds of Galactus at some point. And then she was also a love interest of Human Torch, maybe? I don't remember. But that's what... Yeah.
She's kind of cool. And then when she turns on her fire, she looks like fire. Fire and ice. I don't know. She was not horrible. I mean, her character was horrible, but I like the idea of that kind of character. And then, you know, like...
And what's with Zatanna?
I mean, why aren't Spectre and Tribunal fighting?
Because they're working together to be friends.
Everybody else could work together, too.
No, just them.
I was not a fan of the Zatanna-Scarlet Witch combo, either.
Yeah, me either. Because,
man, what was... She was, like... Super
curving up on everybody. Yeah.
Because not... And I don't think that's a characteristic that either of those characters have, right?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
It was really...
I mean, Zatanna's got fishnets, and if you were working for Marvel, you would just assume when he was off... I don't know. I'm trying to think of where it would even come from. I don't know. So, let's talk about 90s writing.
Can I read my favorite line from this comic?
Yes, yes, please, please. Okay. It's on page 157.
It's on page 157 of the trade we're reading.
And I think this line that you found epitomizes 90s comic book writing.
Yeah. So this is... I don't remember what happened in this scene, because a lot of the things in this comic, I just don't remember what was happening. Something about access... Oh, it was right after it starts raining blood for some reason. And then Access transports Batman and Captain America to outer space, maybe? And this is the line, okay? This is
In text box, because text box were all the ominous rage.
This is narration. It says, "For a moment, Batman and Captain America feel nothing. Ellipses. And then, ellipses, they continue to feel it." Let me read that again without the... "For a moment, Batman and Captain America feel nothing. And then, they continue to feel it." Feel what? They were just feeling nothing. Are they continuing to feel nothing?
Or they continue to feeling what they didn't feel before?
I don't know what this is trying to tell people.
Is that written in, like, the scrolly? Wait, hold on, let me see it.
It's right here on the top.
See, and that's the thing. That's even written on a normal text box. I'm surprised that wasn't written on, like, the burnt parch scroll kind of text box that they use when they wanted to be ominous talking about the galaxy.
Why not the Jubilee Dear Diary one?
Yes. You know, like... That was fucking annoying to read.
It's like, "Dear Diary, Batman and Captain America didn't feel feelings, and then they continued to feel feelings again." The end. Love, Jubilee.
P.S. I really want a bone Robin.
Okay, question of the week. Would this comic have been better or worse if the narrator was Jubilee?
Better.
Ooh.
Better from a hilarity, from a comedic standpoint, definitely.
I think better from a cohesive storytelling standpoint, too. Part of the reason this is bad is that it's all over the fucking map. And I understand you kind of need to be, because you want to show all these different fights, but there's no cohesive story here except for the brothers, and the brothers are done horribly wrong.
This is the way they should have done it. They should have done it like they did, like Secret Wars in Marvel, where some space monster says, "Let's play a game," and he collects a bunch of heroes and makes them fight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or even like House of M, right? Where Scarlet Witch suddenly realizes that she has this level of power and rewrites mutanthood in the galaxy. Like, just have some mutant wake up.
Instead, they bring in these the most powerful characters in either universe, because that's what these brothers are.
They're the embodiments of the universe, okay. Basically.
They bring these two characters in. They have zero... Nobody's ever heard of them before for some reason.
Yeah.
And then they have absolutely no consequence going forward.
Yeah, and they come busting out of a shard of a hobo box.
Yeah, they're in a friggin' refrigerator box in an alley guarded by a hobo.
I just want to point out that the hobo manages to restrain them for a short period of time with by putting duct tape around the refrigerator box.
I actually really did like that.
Is it mystical duct tape?
It's corny and stupid, but I did like it. Like, you could fix anything with duct tape. That was good characterizing. That's what a hobo would say.
Also, his hobo protege replacement has, like, the most awful way of speaking when he actually does talk. Yeah. He says, all right, with a W in there.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
All right.
And Access, his superhero name, is such a 90s name.
Access. Yes. Is that really his name? Because I saw that and I was like, that can't be. Referring to him or anyone.
What does that mean, though? Like, I mean, I know what Access means, but...
He has access to both universes.
It's his stripper name.
If it was a female character, she would have been named, like, Mercedes or something. They could have called him... It's like one of those words in the 90s that, like, they always existed, but then computers came, so it meant something different. They could have called him, like, Upgrade or something, too, you know?
With two Ds for a double dose of pimpin'.
Give me the accuracy.
Double dose of pimpin'.
Oh, well, that's not just Upgrade. I think his name is pronounced Upgrade.
Yeah. Should have just called him Modem and been done with it.
56K! BPS.
Man, fuck the 90s.
I mean, like, we all grew up then, and I had a good time as a kid, but looking back, it was such an
awkward
time.
There's some crap
time.
In there.
How did we turn out normal?
I'm not so sure we did.
We probably
did. No, we're talking into the internet about comic books.
Well, no, then that's from the future.
So then we can talk about the 90s art. Aside from the hair and costume design, my favorite thing to talk about with 90s art is boobs.
So, when I saw Elektra, I actually called over everyone in the room and was like, oh my god, guys, look, this was made in 96, and her breasts are of a reasonable size.
It's page 21 in the trade, right? And she's in the top right next to GL and above Aquaman, and she's got, like, an A cup. And, you know, if you're a ninja... Yeah, but if you're a ninja and you've been, like, hanging out and working out your whole life, you know... Just a normal size, right? But then you look at page 20, and it's the first appearance of Jean Grey, and that's just, like, the drawing of a dude with circles drawn on.
Yeah, those are straight up... They have, like, no depth. They're just circles.
They're just circles with shading. You know, they look like... They look like circles with, like, if somebody was going to draw hair on the top of them, and that's the shading.
That's what bad implants look like.
But then, so after we see Elektra with the B cup, that you drew everybody over there to see, like, oh my god, 90s... And it's not hideously drawn women. Then we get to when Catwoman and Elektra fight. All of a sudden, Elektra's got like fucking triple Fs or some shit. They're like, they're broader than her shoulders. And so her shoulders get broad enough to match, and her waist is still tiny. It's ridiculous. What page is that on, even? In case somebody wants to go find it. I don't even, 78, 79, like pages 80 and 81. They're ridiculous.
So, two reasonable explanations. Either she had a baby in between and is now nursing, or she had some work done. I guess the third reasonable explanation, which is the actual one, is that they decided it had to be sexy that she was fighting Catwoman. And it's just so awful.
Maybe when the universes started merging, she got merged with some other woman.
And, just and the other woman ended up in her chest.
Yeah.
It's alien and it's a chest burster.
So, in case you could find a way to reasonably get around that, let's turn to page 89 where we see Storm. She's got torpedo tits facing in two separate directions.
Well, her arms are spread out. Maybe it's just her shirt's pulling on them.
No, but, like, one is going down towards her knee, and the other one's going up towards her hand.
She's up in the sky.
And, like,
sky
opposite and knee, it's and wind. Then opposite hand.
It's like a chameleon. Yeah, it's pointing different directions.
And it's just, and then, and not to be sexist about it, let's see the fight between Captain America, Shazam, or Captain Marvel, sorry, Shazam, and Thor. Thor has the biggest, brawniest chest. He's like Princess Tiny Feet.
He has beautiful hair.
Beautiful hair.
Beautiful
hair.
Look
at, okay. The bottom right-hand corner of page 57. I know, this is great radio. These feet are like size 2.
I didn't even notice that the first time I read through.
Just the physical proportions of human beings got twisted in the 90s.
So
it's just so bad.
Wonder Woman's first appearance in this, gross. Like
what page is it? Any idea?
Oh, I don't.
Or when does it happen? Does it happen when she's about ready to pick up the
first
hammer?
First issue, sorry, even before that. Fairly early in where they're introducing all of the heroes.
Oh yeah, she would be introduced very early. She's one of their marquee people, so we say.
Very, very early.
Oh, is it during like the lineup of people?
Yeah.
Oh geez, where the hell is it? This is all X-Men stuff. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
what's wrong with it? Let's hear it.
Let me find it. I don't know where it is.
When she's standing over the cop on the bridge.
Oh, yeah, she's holding up a bridge, so her legs are, you know, braced, but she's kind of not actually standing like anyone would if they are holding up an entire bridge.
She has the most elongated torso I've ever seen.
Like, the only reason that it's not, like, some creepy X-rated crotch shot is that the cop is reaching out towards her and covering that. But, like, her leg, the right leg, the way it's coming out of her hip, doesn't make any sense.
And look at the way her shin is not pointing the same direction as the rest of her leg.
Yeah.
And her arms have a lot of definition, but her thighs have none.
Yeah, God, this is...
It's just all bad.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to describe. It's just bad.
There is one thing that happened here that I did kind of like. I did like how when some characters had secret identities that overlapped in certain ways. Like, I liked Peter Parker and Clark Kent running into each other in this newly formed newspaper, and then both having that thought, if I could only fucking ditch this other guy, I could go goddamn change and handle this shit. But they're both... That's a neat little moment.
Or how about Perry White and J. Jonah Jameson yelling at the Kingpin? That was
cool.
Pretty great.
That was cool. Like, some of that stuff, like the non... Who would win in a fight, Superman or the Hulk? Like, the actual character parts of this, some of them are kind of neat. But they get just...
How come we didn't get to see Perry White and J. Jonah Jameson?
There are not pages for this when you have to do all this Amalgam Brothers Spectre Hulk Tribunal shit. There's just not pages for it when you have to have this crazy stupid story overlaid on everything.
And we got like a tiny snippet of Snapper Carr and probably what's that guy's name from the Avengers?
Oh shit!
Oh man! Oh God! Ah!
Plus,
Rick something.
Rick Perry.
No. Rick Perry. I'll think of it.
But and then the other thing that happened is there's some matchups that we got teased with that I think would have been kind of cool to see, but because this was all hero on hero, you didn't get to see it.
Like Steel versus the Absorbing Man.
Yes, and Daredevil versus the Riddler. You know, or like Venom and Batman. Like, you see one panel of it, like, what about this matchup? And then that's it. Or like partnerships that would be cool. I would read a Supergirl She-Hulk team up. I would read that every week, because those are two very different characters that have the same kind of personalities in different modes. Like, Supergirl is very much the kind of happy-go-lucky hero. And She-Hulk, when she's She-Hulk, is as well. But when she's Jennifer Walters, she's very much more the, I want to be serious about who I am and my humanity and my law. Like, there are some neat matchups in here that would be cool to read. But they're only shown for a page. Fucking Etrigan the Demon and Ghost Rider, that would be sick.
That would be awesome.
I would watch the crap out of that.
Rick Jones.
Ah, there you go.
Sorry.
But we don't... There's so much more they could have done, but you don't get to see it because it's overlaid with the creative writing test of these brothers.
What is this shit supposed to be, though, with the brothers? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, they created the Big Bang.
I get that.
They created our universes, apparently.
Stupid.
Yes, it is.
So, were there any moments in this that you guys liked?
I really liked when Peter Parker had the nerve to ask... Like, he worked up the nerve to ask Lois Lane on a date. And it was so sweet. And she was like, oh, I'm engaged. And then Clark Kent kind of like bumbles up behind her and he's like, eh.
Yeah, did you see the bling that she flashed at him too?
Yeah.
Clark Kent is balling out of control.
Dude, because Superman probably like went into a mine, grabbed a big-ass piece of coal, and crushed it down himself.
Yeah.
You can have some fucking bling with that.
And then I felt so bad for Peter Parker, because it's not like he knew, and then he was like, oh, I'm so stupid, damn it, damn it. It felt like one of the only real writing moments in this, where people acted in a reasonable fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't really think of many. Like, other than what I said, the moments when they were out of costume. The actual character, person-to-person things that happened in here.
Actually, I did like Gambit and Nightwing. Like,
yeah.
It was just, like, two panels, right? And Gambit's, like, throwing his cards, and then he gets away with his silly Cajun accent, which is really poorly done here,
yes.
I think. But, that was kind of, like, I wish that that had been a real fight. I would have enjoyed watching that.
And I kind of like the idea that some of the teenaged heroes would take the opportunity to hook up. Like Jubilee and Robin. If it weren't so crappily done, I think would have been entertaining to read. Right?
I'm pretty hung up on the whole, like, Dear Diary thing. I just thought just bad.
That was an incredibly dumb way of using exposition for, like, three pages.
God, does Nightwing have, like, a really long ponytail in this?
Yes, he used to have hella long hair.
Okay, never mind my statement about him and Gambit. Like, he is stricken from the record.
Well, this is during Superman's mullet phase,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Superman's got
that's
a mullet
just
in this.
Ironic. I mean, Nightwing looks like he has a rat tail here, so... Ugh.
No, the symbol of superhero comics, the enduring legacy of this genre, had a mullet.
I know. Because
he thought it was cool and looked neat.
Well, he woke up from the dead with it. I mean, it's not
so much
of a
concern. He
could get a haircut.
Clark Kent could do it on his fucking lunch break. Right? By the way, Clark Kent had a mullet. There's nobody that as meager and measly and bumbling and humble as Clark Kent is rocking business in the front and party in the back.
Maybe
there's no
Lois
way.
Liked it.
There's no way.
So I have to ask, what's up with all the WB product placement?
I think this is right after WB bought DC. So WB, because I think what happened is DC printed one, then Marvel printed the other, then DC printed one, then Marvel printed the other, or something like that, where they split up the cost. So
okay.
DC probably thought, we just got bought out, we really want to hammer in that product placement of our new owners.
Because they have, like, a whole frame that's entirely taken up by Pinky and the Brain.
Yep.
And, like, you see WB on Batman's garage at some point, and there's a WB store. Like, it's just really... I'm honestly... someone who's okay with product placement if it's stealthy. I'd rather have, like, the subversive advertisement.
It's not like, hey, what happened in my store?
Or if it's comically over the top, like Subway in Chuck.
Yes.
That's just funny and interesting and adds another layer, you know? And that, in and of itself, is fan service because of why it happened, you know? Like, there's certain things like that make it okay. But then the bad one is, like, Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer. Did you ever see that one, the second one?
No, I didn't.
Reed Richards rolls up in the, like, the Fantastic Four hover vehicle, and he stretches over and points at the Dodge emblem on the hood and says, it's got a Hemi in it.
Oh my god.
Honestly, that happened in the movie. Why, if Reed Richards built it himself, why the fuck would he put a Dodge emblem on it?
Why wouldn't he just build his own engine?
Right?
He could probably build a better engine than the engineers at
fucking
Dodge.
Tony Stark did it in his basement with a box of scraps.
Box of scraps!
But to me, I did finally see who Tony Stark got, like, matched up against. There's one of these giant spreads during the Dear Diary entry, where we had Tony Stark lined up against Steel. That'd be fucking cool to see.
Yeah.
Two geniuses. Although I would say Tony Stark's probably smarter than John Henry Irons.
Yes, I'm
but
pretty
they're both
sure.
Pretty damn smart.
Yeah.
And they're both using suits.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
There's some of these that would be really cool to watch, you know? And, like, Black Canary and Black Widow. Like, they're similar kick-ass chicks. Like, that'd be great. The one I would hate to see, though, is Hawkeye and Green Arrow. that'd be boring as shit. That's just like, we're going to run around circles on the outside of town and lob arrows at each other from as far away
Except
as possible.
Hawkeye uses real arrows most of the time, and That's Green true. Arrow uses punches.
Or how about Archangel? Is that on this page? Archangel?
Archangel and Hawkman? Yeah.
I think Hawkman would just beat the shit out of Warren Worthington. He'll just hit him with his mace.
Yes.
Be like, okay.
Whatever, because Warren Worthington, when he goes down, is going to be surrounded by a posse of ladies.
And then Hawkman will be like, where's Hawkgirl?
No, my eternal love. Oh god, such an emo fucking character.
Man, I really miss Warren Worthington III. He was the ultimate baller.
I'm sad that we didn't see more villains in this. Like, they just kind of pop up in and out. And it would have been cool to see some of the villain, like, amalgam. Oh, no, man, no, never mind. None of these amalgamations were good.
I'm looking at a list of the amalgam characters, and some of these are
just bad.
And some of them are just, like, too obvious.
Yeah,
like, Captain Marvel is a combination of Captain Marvel and Captain Marvel. Or these two don't make sense, okay? There's Hawkeye, whose secret identity name is Clint Archer.
Yeah.
And he is a combination of Green Arrow and Hawkeye. Makes sense, right? But Green Arrow is Oliver Queen, right? So there's another character called Goliath, who is Oliver Queen and Marvel's character Goliath.
So he's just a really big Green Arrow?
I don't know. There's no pictures on here, so it just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, Jesus.
And there's J. Jonah White.
That just sounds racist. I don't know why. That sounds so racist.
Man, some of these just...
For a second, like, you said that, and it made me think Perry White and Jonah Hex. I was like, that'd be awesome.
That'd be fucking sick, though. I would fucking... That'd
he's,
be
a, he's a Civil War veteran turned newspaper editor.
He writes for conservative magazines. I wish they had made this Arsenal with his robot arm and Stilt Man.
Like, some of these are just, they're just not good. Like, there's a character called Huntress.
Yeah.
But it's just Carol Danvers as Huntress instead of Miss Marvel.
But Miss Marvel's hella more powerful. Miss Marvel's like Wonder Woman level. Huntress is, like, Robin level.
Oh, okay, here we go. Hyena, that character that is in it...
Is Joker and
Sabretooth.
Okay. That doesn't make any fucking sense, though.
Oh, man.
Well, it's because it's Batman and Wolverine.
But that's...
So it's Joker and Sabretooth.
That's not a good matchup, though.
No.
So, I just realized the matchup that I would really want to see would be Jean Grey combined with Oracle. Do you guys have a combination that you think would be awesome?
The actual Jean Grey one is with Fire.
Hmm.
So it's called, the character's name is Firebird.
Oh, probably because she was Phoenix and Fire.
I can live
Phoenix.
With that. Although I think...
Oh, here's the creepiest one of them all. It's a character called Sparrow, who is a combination of Jubilee and Robin.
So, that's not right.
It's a hermaphrodite.
Is it male or female?
It's both. And that's the exciting part. It's the edgiest comic you've ever read.
Oh god, I dread... Don't ever Google that. There's going to be some horrible, like, slash fic there.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to do.
Were you going to Google sparrow porn? Because that would not come up with what you were looking for.
There'd just be, like, a Google image search of birds.
Yeah, I can't think of one that I would really want to see that wasn't kind of in here. I mean, some of these are a little weird, and I would change the matchups, but I mean...
What about, like, Power Girl? Who would you want to see her combined with?
That's tough, because she is the same physiology and age and makeup, basically, in terms of powers, as Superman. Like, you would need to... Who would be... I guess She-Hulk, right?
Yeah.
that's the only one I can think of. But She-Hulk's already matched up in here with Supergirl, which I guess is just the younger version of Power Girl.
See, the one I would like to see is Deathstroke the Terminator and Deadpool. They should just put those two characters together since they're supposed to be the same anyway.
Is there anybody in Marvel who is super douchey, but a hero?
Like Cyclops?
Who would know? That's just, he's just, that's like, that's the leader douchey syndrome, right? I don't believe that
Quicksilver is actually pretty douchey. Cool.
Like, I'm trying to figure out who I would line up against Booster Gold.
Oh.
Oh, there's nobody cool like Booster Gold.
No, Warren Orington the Third. You could, I mean, Booster Gold would win.
I think Booster Gold wants to be Warren Worthington the Third.
See, I think that's what he awesome. Wants to be. There would be a mutual respect, especially if it took place in Warren Worthington the Third's mansion. Like, on
I just imagine Booster showing up and being like, bros locked down, and they fist bump and party.
They don't actually fight. They have, like, a dance standoff.
Oh, God.
Or they have, like, a skiing contest or something super douchey. That happens, right?
Yeah. Or, like,
No, they'll break out the GameCube.
Okay, what about Blue Beetle? Who would you match Blue Beetle up against?
Oh, man.
Hank Pym?
No.
Because they're both kind of...
Hank Pym's actually pretty douchey. Maybe he... No.
Because they're both... Because, like, Ted Kord is, like, the third-rate forgotten genius inventor of the DC Universe. He's a pretty smart guy. I mean, he invented the flying beetle, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, but...
He has a gun that shoots foam.
But I like... But Ted Kord is, like, lovable.
Maybe Peter Parker. Maybe that would actually be a decent matchup for Spider-Man.
Spider-Beetle?
Yeah.
Or
I mean, they're both insects. It's true, too.
Blue Spider.
No, I don't... I'm just trying to think of characters that I like that we didn't get to see in here. I don't know.
Hmm.
See, just... I don't know. But, I mean, they can't... If you have four issues for all of the matchups in all these universes, you can't give billing to guys like Booster Gold.
Actually, here we go. Booster Gold and the Marvel Universe Hercules.
Yes! Oh my God, they would party forever!
I think that would be a good combo.
That would be amazing. yes. Done. And then Amadeus Cho and Blue Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Damn!
That is...
That would be a fucking sick crossover story. I would read the crap out of that. Holy shit.
And it's like the two buddy comics from each universe.
Oh my God. Done. Like it in Brofist.
Bam. Did you guys hear that fist bump on the microphone?
Here we go. That was it right there. But I think that's the limit of the intellectual conversation we can have about this comic.
Yeah, it's just bad.
Is that Brofist?
I mean, I think it's worth checking out for because it's like a, I don't know, it's like a artifact of. This is like one of the times when these two publishers have played nice together.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth checking out for that. But it's just the way they delivered it was bad.
I mean, I think what it comes down to is because it was the two big ones playing nice for once, and they both put who they had as their main guys at the time on this. You know, Ron Mars was a big guy in DC. You know, Dan Jurgens was a big guy in DC. I don't know who the big guys from Marvel were at this time. Can you recognize any names? But I get the feeling this is the result of way too much editorial oversight and wanting to create a whole system so everything was fair and even, and coming up with a whole system so that it could be explained in both universes as why this would happen. But this is one of those things where you can suspend that disbelief. You don't need to do that. You don't need the story on top of it. You don't need to worry so much about evenness here either. It's just not necessary because nobody's expecting this to be canon. Nobody. But when I read it, it feels like that's what they were concerned with. Is how does this fit into the canon of these universes when nobody fucking cares? They just want to see Hulk and Superman punch each other. That's all that we want.
Just didn't work out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we have anything more to say about this?
I think we just, like, went off on this comic in an unorganized fashion, but...
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What?
Did you know that Captain America weighs 240 pounds?
Yes. It's all muscle, baby.
That's... That's a lot of pounds for Captain America.
Actually, this is a pretty interesting part of the comic, is in the back where they go down through everybody and list, like, their height and measurements and all that
this
kind of stuff.
This is pretty cool.
Their list of superhuman powers, and Superman's, like, a fucking paragraph.
What bothers me is Wonder Woman is 135 pounds. She is, like, for a lady,
she's
kind of proportionately muscled to Captain America. She is also 5'11". 135 pounds is, like, a healthy weight for someone who's 5'2".
Yeah.
So, like, the weights don't actually make any sense.
Storm is 5'11 and 127.
Yeah, Storm should probably... If Captain America is 240 pounds, Storm should weigh something like 160.
Wolverine is 5'3 and 195 pounds.
No, Wolverine should weigh more than that, though, because he has a metal skeleton.
That's true.
That's true. He should weigh a shit ton. Here, okay, they're being even, though. Superboy, 5'7, 150. He's a scrawny little pup. Jubilee's 5'5 and 105 pounds.
Well, this is, like, really unhealthy for women to look at.
Here you go. This one would be right. Thor, 6'6", guess the weight.
I'm guessing he's, like, 300-something pounds.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
Guess the weight on Thor.
He's 6'6"?
6'6". Thor, okay. God of Thunder.
Well, Lobo's 305, so I'm going to say, like, 320.
Listeners, take a moment. Your guess? Probably wrong. 640 pounds.
Right. What? Right, okay.
600. It's all on the hammer, baby.
That's what she
you seen Dr. Horrible? It's all in the hammer.
That is, good job, Thor.
Submariner, 6'2", 310 pounds. Aquaman, 325 pounds.
It's because it's a lot of water weight on those guys.
Jesus. I feel like Spider-Man is the only reasonable person in this entire
5'10", 165? Yeah.
That sounds normal.
Yeah. Batman, 6'2", 220. That's normal for a built guy that size.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like a football player.
Because he's pretty agile, too, so you don't want to make
him
too
heavy.
Yeah,
you don't want to be huge. Oh.
And he doesn't have super strength.
Hulk is 1,150 pounds.
Right.
I mean, I know he's supposed to be a lot of muscle, but that is...
How tall is he?
6'6". He weighs twice as much as Thor.
He couldn't, like, use some elevators, I think. Or escalators, or various
no,
structures.
No, he certainly couldn't. He'd just have to jump up
problematic.
There. Yeah, some of this is weird.
It actually really bothers me, the weights and heights they give for the women, because it's ridiculous. It makes no sense.
This is like... See, they could have just published that part. I mean, this is, like, so 90s, all of it. Even this little statue in the back. It's just bad. All right, so...
Let's rate this.
Let's rate this, yeah.
David, you go first.
Oh, man. 1.5? It's not good. I don't know what to say about it. The art's bad in general. The story is bad. The whole point, like we said earlier, was to see these characters fight each other, and we didn't get that.
Yeah.
We got a couple pages of nothing. It's a collection of two-page snippets of disappointment.
That's a very good way of putting it.
It's just not good. I don't know what else to say about it. 1.5. Like you said, these creators that are listed on here are good creators. And so
Ron Mars wrote the majority of Kyle Rayner's run as Green Lantern, and that's what made me love that character. Ron Mars' writing.
And Dan Jurgens has been on both.
Dan Jurgens created my favorite character of all time.
And his run on Thor with John Romita Jr. is amazing. Great. It's so good. And so it's like, this couldn't have come from these two guys. I mean, Dan Jurgens, I think he was not a writer on this. I think he was a penciler.
Probably.
But still, I mean, it's just... I don't know what to say about
the
it.
The level of disappointment is huge.
Exactly. It's not a good comic, but coupled with the letdown you get when you pick it up and read it, it's just... I mean, if you're curious, check this out, but if somebody came up to me and said, how is this comic, I'd be like, don't bother. So, yeah, 1.5.
Alright, I'm gonna give it a 1.
Yeah, I think I was pretty generous with 1.5.
There's stuff I like about it. But, I mean, for every one thing I could like about it, like, you know, I don't have a problem with every woman in comics having gargantuan breasts. I'm going to make that entirely chauvinistic statement. I have a problem with the size fluctuating, with them being presented unnaturally. I don't have a problem with every male hero having gaudy Arnold Schwarzenegger pecs, so long as it looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger and not like some god-awful, unholy abomination with Princess Tiny Feet at the bottom of it. You know? Like, I am fine with the conventions of this genre. That's why I like this genre. But this breaks all of those for shits and giggles. Because let's just make the boobs bigger, but then that doesn't look natural. Let's make the shoulders wider. Now you have all natural shoulders and the natural boobs on a tiny fucking woman. And it just looks weird. And you have fucking Thor with Princess Tiny Feet feet. And then there's Dear Diary, like you said. And that's not the only time. There's times when it shows, like, the brothers, and the script changes, and it's, like, written on this parchment kind of thing for no goddamn reason. Like, why isn't it in a normal text box? There's sometimes where the text boxes change color, and I don't know why. There's no explanation. Fucking Namor gets beat by a killer whale.
Like, yeah, I mean, the guy has super kinda strength, right?
Namor can pick the whale the fuck up and throw it back at Aquaman. Yeah, and it's just, like, and that's just nerd rage kind of stuff. Like, the fire shouldn't have gone this way, because, you know, he could just pick it back up and throw it at him. Like, fine, but, like, it's just bad. And all the things that they tease you with are things that I would actually want to see Steel and Iron Man fight for a couple pages. I would want to see Black Widow and Black Canary fight for a couple pages. And, I mean, Hawkman and Green Arrow would be fucking boring, but at least you'd get to see it, and instead you get 3 issues of Amalgamation and Brothers and 1 issue of actual fighting, when you want 4 issues of fighting. Just one. It's just such a letdown. You pick it up expecting something that you and your friends have been arguing about for years, and you put it down, and you've got nothing out of it.
You still just keep arguing.
Yeah.
There's no definitive decision made.
Which I think is what the editors would have wanted. Because the more you argue about these comics, the more you're talking about them, the more you're going to buy more, and the more you're going to talk about it with your friends.
But they could have done that and made it good.
Yes, they could have done that better. Yep. They could have said, this is the definitive winner, watch the fight for 4 pages, and then you can talk about where we went wrong in this awesome fight that you got to see. Now, let's put these two on a page together and then never mention them again.
Jen?
Oh, God. I'm kind of oscillating between a 1 and a 1.5, because some of it was, like, so bad it was amusing, but then there were other just,
like, offensively...
Yeah, or, like, the fact that the product of, like, Jubilee's amalgamation was with Robin and it became Sparrow. That's, like, that's so fucked up it's funny.
Especially after the sexual tension between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like...
So he's just going to run around playing with itself all day.
Jesus.
That's what they both wanted out of each other. Like,
but why did they have to make that? It's so terrible. I'm going to go with a 1. It's just... It's not bad enough in the right ways to be funny enough to get that extra half of a point. It's just... Like, you know... Tiny princess feet, David Bowie hair, Thor has flowing locks, and pointy abs. I don't yeah. understand why they, like, stick out like little pyramids.
Yep.
And, like, the fights weren't that interesting. Some of the pair-ups I thought were stupid. They could have left the Hulk out of it, honestly. And I know some people really love the Hulk, but to see him fight Superman was stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I understand taking your big money-making characters and lining them up against one another, but why not throw in a couple, like, smaller characters for interest? Why not have a stupid fucking storyline that makes sense instead of one about siblings? Like, the sibling thing is a very tacky metaphor, and it was not well pulled off. They could have just had the metaphor. They could have just, like, literally said, this is not canon, and here's a portal, fight.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't need this. It could have been some horrible plot from, like, anyone. Like, a villain. But no. Had to be brotherly hatred and then love and then, like, strange brotherly amalgamation. I'm pretty sure that's not what siblings do. So...
Or, like, we didn't bring this up earlier, sorry, but it's like they noticed each other and they decided to fight. Yeah. That was, like, the whole reason the thing is because they noticed each other.
Yeah.
And why not just fight instead of being like, hey, let's find all these puny, insignificant people that we care nothing about and make them fight so that one of us dies. That is so just nonsensical. So one is better than Spawn.
Yeah, I will say that this is not the worst thing we have read. Comes close, but I don't think it is the worst thing I've read in the course of this podcast.
When I say better than Spawn, I notice like how angrily I say that.
You walked a really fine line there, Marvel versus DC.
Well, that was our blockbuster ending of this arc.
Well,
we should have saved Aliens versus Terminator versus.
So we have to discuss which one was our favorite.
Oh yeah, so which one was our favorite of the three crossovers?
I think I can guess what we're all gonna say.
Yeah,
we're all gonna say Alien versus Predator versus Terminator.
Damn right.
Is that what you're gonna say, yep. Ben? Yeah, easy.
Yeah, easy.
I love the idea of G.I. Joe and Terminator or G.I. Joe Transformers, Ghostbusters, Star Trek, and that wasn't horrible.
No. I think that was pretty well done for what they set out to do.
But the Alien versus Predator versus Terminator knew what it was going to know. It knows what it is. Made it tight and concise, cohesive, interesting, and it just did it. And it was a good story.
I think maybe IDW said, we want to have this big event that crosses over all these titles that we love. And we're just going to do that, and we're going to go kind of crazy, but not too crazy, because we don't want to weird people out. Mm-hmm. Aliens vs. Predator said, we love these things, we want to go crazy on these, we'll put our fucking balls on the table and just see whatever the fuck comes out. Like, they met that barrier of let's not go too crazy, and said, fuck it, let's barrel right past that, and make a Terminator-Alien hybrid. Like, they just gave up, and said, we're just going to go as fucking wacky as we can possibly get, and I think that's why it worked.
And they made it make some kind of sense.
Yeah, it had the most cohesive plot out of any of them.
So that wraps that arc up.
Yeah.
Let's, next, we're going to go back to our old style. We're going to do a character study on Spider-Man, one of Marvel's premier characters.
I'm surprised we haven't done this one this one yet, so.
So first, which is going to be next week, we're going to read Death of Gwen Stacy. This is by Jerry Conway and Gil Kane. It's from Amazing Spider-Man 96 to 98 and 121 to 122. You can go out and get those singles if you're rich, or you can just buy the collection Death of Gwen Stacy. And then we're going to read Venom, which I think the trade paperback is Spider-Man versus Venom. It's by David Michelinie and Todd McFarlane, speaking of Spawn. It's Amazing Spider-Man 298 to 300 and 315 to 317. And then we're going to read, this is I think the Outlier, which is, I hear, a really good story. Kraven's Last Hunt by J.M. DeMatteis. And this collects a bunch of different stuff. Web of Spider-Man 32-33, Amazing Spider-Man 293-294, and Spectacular Spider-Man 131-132. It's a lot of numbers and that kind of, you know, like issues and trades and stuff. But if you want to see what we're doing coming up, go to our website, www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com. On the right, there's a button that says upcoming episodes or future episodes. I don't remember which it is right now. Click on that one, and there'll be links to Amazon directly. From there, it'll tell you exactly what issues are what, make it super simple for you. And of course, if you just want to ask us directly, you can always hit us up on Gmail.
Which is atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
Or you can ask us also on Twitter.
Which is @APSupercast or twitter.com/APSupercast.
And as always, please hit the subscribe button on iTunes, because then we know how many people are listening. And it's good to know those kinds of things. So, I think that wraps it up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Till next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.